Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hello, welcome to Red Bend News. It's Wednesday, the 4th of December. I'm Ross Chanley. This is Mr. Chris Pajak. We're here to bring you the latest Liverpool news and the build-up to the Merseyside derby tonight, aren't we, Chris? This is brought in association with you with Red Men TV today. Your Christmas jumpers, some delightful choices up on offer. This one is a bit of a favourite, this one, isn't it, Chris? Divock Origi. And it paid a little tribute to a little tiny dinosaur there. Who might that be, Chris?
I don't know.
Jordan Pickford. Thank you very much. A couple more designs.
He's got little eyes.
Yeah. Three Kings, one with Mo, Sadio and Bobby on there. Lovely. Also available in grey, that one.
Love this one.
Six, yeah. European Cup, European champions. Just remind everyone at Christmas that we're European champions. Well, why wouldn't you go
is
and do
everyone
that?
Else's favourite number six now as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Including okay. Messi as well. That's about that. Delivery dates, go to the pin post. If you haven't got time to do this now, on our Twitter page, this is all on there. You need to order by certain times, depending on where you are in the world. But we ship worldwide. You got until Monday the 16th at 9 a.m. If you're in the UK. Everyone else, go and check that out. But as we mentioned, we're going to talk Merseyside derby, Chris. How are you feeling tonight before we start this?
Very nervous. Derby belly on the go, like, as I always do, because... You know what it's like, right? And I don't know this. I am just assuming that this is what it's like. Has anybody played Guitar Hero?
Yep.
Right. When you get up to a mad streak,
yeah,
and the pressure starts getting to you even more because you know how much of an amazing streak you're on.
Yeah.
And the pressure to keep going and extend that streak just becomes all consuming.
You don't want that bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of what Liverpool are on with Everton right now at Anfield. Or just anywhere, to be honest with you.
We were banging in the middle of a Led Zeppelin solo, aren't we?
Exactly, that's it. Like, and we've, you know, we've not messed up since 1999, and the pressures are just crippling me every single time we play them at Anfield.
I really want to play Guitar Hero now. Anyway, team news. Adjam will, of course, be in goal after Alisson was sent off against Brighton. He missed that game. Should be back for Bournemouth. Some other details that we kind of already know. Klopp spoke in his pretty much pressy yesterday. Obviously saying John Matip remains sideline with a knee issue, while Fabinho ankle and Daniel Klein. You've got like Nathaniel kind of being a bit nervous to all sideline, but apart from that, everyone else is fit, which is only a good thing, isn't it, Chris? Coming to, you know, this period of rotation, the cliche of form goes out the window, but I still think you need to go full strength for this tonight.
Yeah, you do, and there'll be rotation, don't get me wrong, but generally speaking, I think probably maybe nine of the players will be what you would consider our first choice 11 at this moment in time. I think there's question marks whether Jordan Henderson's going to play in this game. Whether Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's going to play in this game. I think Gini Wijnaldum will do. I think I was reading something that Jordan Henderson hasn't played like the weekend Wednesday game for like over a year now for us. He tends to just play once a week for us. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's done it a couple of times and got injured off the back of one of those midweek games. And he does like to rotate that midfield, doesn't he, Ross?
Yeah, it's a different dynamic now, though, because you're saying Henderson doesn't play Saturday, Wednesday. But you've got Fabinho to fill in for nowadays. That changes things completely. The other thing I was going to ask you about, actually, and let us know in the comments below as well, is Mo Salah, like, there's loads of calls for him to have a rest, and, like, you know, he's been off form, or I think I called him like a bit predictable last week, or you know he gets marked out of the game quite a lot. You can afford to rest him or rotate it, and the amount of football that he plays as well, by the way, which is a phenomenal amount of football that he plays. do you leave him out for this one and bring someone fresh off the sidelines, or do you take that risk?
No, I keep playing him until he scores loads and loads of goals for me. You know, I mean, I've been quite vocal for the last couple of weeks that I don't think he's in very good form, but he just adds so much to you, and he will just scare the living daylights out of Everton, whether he's in form, whether he's not in form, whatever, and it will hopefully free up a little bit of space for Sadio Mane. Going back to your Fabinho point, I think that's right. I think Klopp might have to play Jordan Henderson in the six, and he's probably not doing as much running in the eight as he is in the six anyway, so he's maybe able to go a little bit further, a little bit longer, maybe play those two games a week. But I'd be really shocked if Lallana played the six tonight. So for me, it's probably the midfield three that played at the weekend. It's probably Henderson at the base with Wijnaldum and probably Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. But serious question marks over whether Ox and Hendo can play those two games, because they're probably going to play them at the weekend game as well.
Yeah, Bournemouth, yeah. It's almost counterintuitive, sorry, if you drop Mo Salah, isn't it? For someone who's not in form, you can't get him back in form if he's not playing, can you?
Yeah, and
it would be fucking stupid.
I don't think Origi's in form anyway. No. I think, and Shaqiri certainly hasn't played much football, if any.
No.
So who are you going to drop into this one? Is this the game for Brewster to finally come in and warrant all the talk? Probably not.
No.
Our hands are tied on this one, I think. Yeah. I think that the team will be the team.
We'll wait till we get 4-0 up and then we'll bring them on, won't we?
Keita's an interesting one, though, isn't he? Would you start Keita?
See, I don't know.
Big games to put him into, isn't it?
They're all big games. You don't know what you're getting with him. You don't know quantity, isn't he? But then he needs to play at some point. And also Everton are 17th. Do you know what I mean? So if he doesn't come in at a home game, but it's what the Lallana stuff. Is it safer to play Lallana in a six at home to Everton than it is to play him away to Bournemouth?
If Naby's going to start, I think you move Wijnaldum into the six.
Yeah.
And you probably play Henderson in the eight. Mm. And you probably make Keita on the left-hand side. But then the option's there for James Milner. Mm. Could James Milner play in this game?
It's almost like we should have a show for this.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, maybe some kind of starting 11.
Yeah,
show,
a prediction.
Or a build-up show or something. But on a slow news day when you've got the derby.
Yeah.
Who would you actually start?
The team, the full team. Well, Adrian.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the only option. Trent, Lovren, Van Dijk, Robbo. I put Chambo in there. Hendo, Genie, Chambo,
okay. Mm.
I play Milner at the weekend.
Okay.
Front three.
I think I would probably go Hendo at the base, Ox and Milner for this one.
Yeah. Yeah, Milner's got that grit, hasn't he?
Hang on a minute. I've just dropped Wijnaldum. I'm not dropping Wijnaldum. Hendo at the base.
Yeah.
Ox and Wijnaldum.
Yeah. Let us know your starting 11s below. And if you want all that build-up stuff, go over to the website. So we've got Uncensored Match build-up, starting 11 prediction, post that down with Toffee TV yesterday, which is really good. Some written content over there and in podcast form, and it's all free over on the website, so go over there and fill your boots. But of course, you have come here some hot Sancho chat. Klopp again was asking about it in his pre-match press yesterday, and he's not ruled it out, which is weird by his standards, because he always goes, no, I'm not talking about it, or it's not happening. But he actually said, he's a very good player, but there's nothing I can say about it. I know how it sounds, but I cannot change that. There's nothing to say about it, which means there's absolutely nothing to say about it.
He said a lot for saying nothing. A lot of words. But all he hasn't ruled it out, but he hasn't said
but
it.
But he normally rules it out, doesn't he? He goes, no, I'm not talking about transfers, or it's not happening.
There was also a quote saying that Liverpool are ready to buy someone if someone comes available that they want.
Well, that's my question for you. Do you think this is a case where if Sancho isn't happy and he becomes available, Liverpool are reactionary to the market, right? And like they have done before, you know, Van Dijk's out there, someone we can go and get. And also it adds to the fact that, you know, towards the end of the season, if you're pushing for a Premier League title, if you can bring Sancho in now, that's dead helpful to the front three.
Yeah, I'd guess so. Yeah. I mean, who's going to turn down Jadon Sancho? He's boss. But is he going to be ready to help us out? Is it one of those positions where you can come in and you showcase your skills and it doesn't really matter? Because Liverpool defenders a team for me. And,
yeah,
you know, is he going to be ready February, March time? Could that be a good time for someone to come in, those fresh legs? Will Sadio Mane, will Mo Salah be even more tired because of the games that they'll have played by that point of the season? For me, it's a no-brainer. If he's available, go and get him at the earliest opportunity.
Yeah.
And you still don't have to play him, but it might be an option off the bench or later on in the season, a little bit down the line. I mean, if he's available.
Yeah. I think
if you've got the money.
There's a case where he might push those front three to something else, because currently, I've said this a few times, Origi isn't pushing them, is he? They know they're starting every game pretty much, because Chamberlain doesn't play out left, he doesn't do it. Katie's been out there, Shaqiri's disappeared for months. So you've got someone else who's like kind of treading on their toes. Can they go to another level after that? It'd be worth paying for, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on to some I don't know how to describe this. Sad, embarrassing, pathetic, I think is pathetic. what I called it in the street last night. So you will have seen this everywhere. But ex-Man City player Trevor Sinclair apologised and deleted a tweet that caused outrage last night. But City won 4-1, I think, last night. And his rational response in his head was to say, "Bin dippers, we're coming for you." It was up there for a few hours. It got quote tweeted by a lot of people, a lot of journalists who were rightly pissed off at this. It's since come out that he made an apology, which is on your screens now. It says, "To any fan that was offended by what I wrote last night, I apologise," in the American spelling. "It was a throwaway line regarding the closed gap. It wasn't my intention to offend anyone, especially from a social stance. I'm a working class lad. I understand how it's been taken. Sorry," with the peace sign. It's since come out since then that he was on TalkSport this morning, and he's donated his show fee to a homeless centre in Liverpool. But to me, I just summed up how I put it last night when I quote tweeted it and just said it's pathetic, embarrassing, and sad. The fact that, A, that he said it, not retracted it, and he replied to one of the responses and said, "Calm down, you're still 8 points clear," or something with the shit emoji. I think you're a grown man, you're a professional footballer, you're in the media spotlight. And at what point is that funny at all? And then the apology feels like a non-apology to me, that he shits himself about his image and his work, and he's got to go and do that. I think the Neil Jones did it this morning, which is brilliant. It's like, tweet something like he's been told to go and say that.
Yeah. I think it's ridiculous that he said it. And the problem is, it's that, yes, he's wrong for saying it. Yes, he's good for apologising. But the fact of the matter for me is that this is what football has become in this country, this banter shite that everyone talks about. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
It's all pathetic. It's just as pathetic when someone who's not in the media does it. I'm no more or less pissed off that it's someone with him.
But he'll have a following, and then people will follow him, will think that that's okay.
But where's it come from in the first instance? Yeah. It's come from every single fan base that comes to Anfield. They all do it, yeah. and we're all implicit in this. It's, you know, it might not be now. Liverpool fans aren't singing it or anything like that, but it's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, what's he actually said there? When you look at it and you say, "All right, bin dippers, we're coming for you." Which one of our 18 squad member players are bin dippers? I mean, you're not even talking about the football team, because they're all on millions of pounds a year. You're actually talking about the people who come from Liverpool. Otherwise, you'd have said, you know, the Liverpool team.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's talking about the entire fucking city. Why is he talking about the entire city?
Yeah.
Why? I just don't understand it.
I said that to this morning outside. Where's the connection there between, well, you just said it there yourself, that the football there, of going like, Liverpool, we've just beaten Burnley, right? You could have chosen anything to say at that point, and he's chosen that, typed it out, thought it's okay, and sent it.
What? Just, we're coming for you.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Why do you have to be offensive in it?
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form? The message is still the message, but you've made yourself look like an absolute tit, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And as a comparison, which ties in quite nicely, you just mentioned some Liverpool players there. On the flip side, 21-year-old Trent Alexander-Arnold, not a fully grown man who's been experienced with football professional for years, is helping out at the food banks. The comparison's staggering, isn't it, Chris?
It is. And listen, I'm really proud of what the Liverpool players and the Liverpool team and Liverpool, the football club, have done over the last few years with helping out. Obviously, Andy Robertson went and visited the food banks last year, and we know they've got, we know Peter Moore helps them out regularly. In fact, I think he donated their food bank van to them, from the Peter Moore Foundation and stuff. And there's so many people in and around Liverpool who work so hard, tirelessly, to help out the situation, because we know that, you know, with universal credit and the rollout of that, you know, 47% more people are using food banks at the moment. And it's great that not only is Trent down there getting his hands dirty, as it were, but he's also lending his name to that. And you know, him being able to put his spin on it and you know, and being able to talk about it and being in the video will mean that this issue and this fantastic food bank appeal will be able to hopefully garner more food for the people that need it.
Yeah, there's a couple of quotes from here. You obviously visited the food bank. He said, "It's not a good sign that these types of places are around. It's amazing to see the work that goes on. The selflessness that goes on is unbelievable. As players, we need to enforce that it's such an important part of the community, especially at this time of year. You don't want to see people going hungry. We can all imagine how difficult it would be in crisis, like so many people in the city. So it's about supporting food banks as much as possible, and being a local lad, that's something that I'm definitely behind it." And that ties back into the tweet that Trevor Sinclair sent as well. And it's not just a slant at Liverpool, but it's a slant at poverty at any level. And again, it's like, you know, any time of year is not acceptable, but again, at this time of year, you know, when people, is about, well, obviously the time for giving and people are in need or whatever else. It just makes the tweet look even worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And you know, and just be thankful that we've got lads like Trent Alexander-Arnold in our football team and stuff. I've been down to St Andrews Community Centre. It really is not a nice place to go down and see when you can see it with your own two eyes and see how much food and how it doesn't last for very long. It just gives you an idea of the scale. I mean, they've got 13, haven't they, operations coming out of there where they're delivering this food to people and they're trying different initiatives and stuff. And if you can help, there's loads of ways that you can help. The video is on Liverpool's YouTube channel there, but you can text in your support for them as well. You can text in and donate a £5 or £10 or £20, whatever it is that you can afford. So you don't just have to be here physically to be able to help them out. You watch that video and at the end it tells you if you want to just donate a fiver or something, if you can spare a fiver for it, then please do, because it's such an important thing. And you know, in this time, you know, in 2019, in this country, nobody should be put in the position where they have to, unfortunately, go to food banks.
No, you could not. Sorry, can we have some comments, please?
Yeah, just a couple on that thing. Dan the Man says, decency, decorum and common sense are becoming the exception rather than the rule. It's just as true in the US as it is in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad, isn't it? Like I think you said, coming back to social media, where it's kind of, it's just made worse, isn't it? What people think, what's right and what's wrong. And a lot of the things that, like, I doubt Trevor Sinclair will come to Liverpool and say that, but because he's on Twitter and he thinks he's all right to say it, it's just shocking, isn't it?
Honestly, it beggars belief, to be honest with you, Ross. Yeah. It riles me so much because these are just stereotypes that have been built up from Thatcher's government in the 80s and all that type of stuff. And people say, you know, it's the whinging Scousers and the moaning Scousers and all that. Like, but we're right. Yeah. At the end of the day, you shouldn't be doing stuff like this. Yeah. And certainly if you're in a position where you do have influence, however little that is nowadays, certainly shouldn't be doing it.
No. Next one.
We've got a super chat from Rabadam.
Thanks very much. Thanks, mate.
I'm a modest man. If we get Koulibaly, Bali and Mbappe, can't I'll be reasonably happy.
Wouldn't we all?
Reasonably happy.
And then we've got quite a lot talking about the game tonight. Ghost says Hendo, Genie and Ox, Milner and Henderson won't work against Everton's midfield. Dan the Man says let Mo play his way out of it. Unless they're still draining his ankle, got to tear him loose with Bobby and Mane, get a lead and then sub him off later.
Yeah, agreed. I'll do that. Go and get his confidence back up, as you mentioned before. Get a goal in him, which I think he's capable of. I think I said this to you this morning. I was so confident about this game, but then like you think, but it's the derby, and like to me, this is like if it was anyone else, that was in 17th place in the form that they're in with the manager that they've got. I'd be thinking, right, this is a 3-4-0, as the comment says. Get some goals in the players and then get them off and get them rested for Bournemouth. But it's a cliche for a reason. Like form goes out the window in these games, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a mad one, isn't it? Because I mean, they're going to want it so much more. And you know, not only have they not won at Anfield since 1999, they've beaten us once in this decade, which was in 2010. I think it was October 2010. And I think we want to go through a decade with them only having one victory against us. We obviously want to extend that to 20 years or plus, more than 20 years, for them beating us at Anfield. You know, I want adults to have never seen their team win at Anfield. I really, really do. And that's the case right now. And I want it to extend that. I want 21-year-olds to have never seen it. And then I want 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds. I want them to never win at our football ground again. But, you know, we're unbeaten this season. They want to dent our title challenge. They want to be the first team to beat us in the country as well. You know, there's loads riding on it for them. And they could be in the bottom three by the end of these Christmas games and stuff. So these
could
are
be
massive games.
Yeah. Is it Southampton-Norwich the other game? Is Southampton beat Norwich?
Southampton play Norwich at home, yeah. So if Southampton beat Norwich at St Mary's and we beat Everton, then Everton are in the relegation zone, right?
I'd love that to happen. Yeah. Like, you know, I'd give all my Christmas presents to someone if you could guarantee that would happen, apart from me hold steady tickets for March, because I'm obviously going to see them again.
Nice. Right, one more before we go, Si.
An interesting one, Paul Young says, Harvey Elliott should be the first sub for tonight's game. Give him a test in a big game. None of the other attacking subs are in good form at the minute.
I like that shout, but again, it always comes back to, it's all the games are just massive at the minute. If a 3-4-0 up, and you want to bring him on, there's nothing to lose at that point. But I think what you're sacrificing there with, you know, with Divock Origi's record against Everton alone is pretty decent. He's going to put him behind Harvey Elliott, going to put his nose out for that. I think it's admirable, but I think it's too much of a risk at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I think it's I think it's balls out. I think it's a good shout because we need someone in form. And maybe this is just the type of game where Divock just, you know, it's a big game.
Or maybe Divock turns up for big
games. Certainly against Everton, we know that he's been able to do that in the past. but you know what? Maybe this is an unpopular opinion, but I actually think Curtis Jones is more first team ready. I don't think he's got the skill set of a Harvey Elliott, but I think he understands, and maybe he hasn't got the ceiling of a Harvey Elliott, but I think he understands the system a lot more.
Yeah, interestingly, I spoke to Jack before. I don't think Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott, or Brewster played in midweek for the youth because I think they were in a cup and they were already through, so they all got rested. So maybe we might see one of those two tonight. We will leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow with all our post match content, some more news. If you want your build up, you're looking for something to do before the game, some time to kill. Go over to the website, all the stuff's for free, match build-up, starting line prediction, build-up to TV, some written content, podcasts, all free, go and check out the website. And on there is also the shop for the Christmas jumpers. The dates are on the screen now, but they're also on the pinned tweet on RevMeTV.com Twitter. And we'll see you very soon. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.